If you wanted to go on a journey into the wonderful world of evolution, the London Underground might seem an unlikely place to start. But the tube tunnels have given rise to a surprising evolutionary connection that has nothing to do with trains, because the Underground has its own species of mosquito. Genetically distinct from its above-ground relative, the London Underground mosquito was first documented anecdotally during the Second World War. This story has inspired a new book called Darwin Comes to Town: How the Urban Jungle Drives Evolution. Francesca Fazi took a trip on London Transport to speak to the author, evolutionary biologist Menno Skiltausen.
Please mind the gap between the train and the platform.
Nature gets into every gap, even here in the tube's dark tunnels filled with smoke and grime and rushing commuters. Evolution is at work. During the Second World War, London's residents used many of the tube line tunnels as makeshift air raid shelters, hiding out with their families as the bombs rained down on their city. But many stories of the horror of this experience were punctuated with mention of an added menace. A particularly aggressive mosquito, the likes of which the families had not been used to in their lives on the surface. Few people paid attention to these accounts. But in the 1990s, a research team found that there was truth to the stories of a sinister underground mosquito.
The scientific name is Culex molestus, or sometimes people say Culex pipiens molestus, so they say it's a subspecies of the regular mosquito Culex pipiens, but it is actually quite different, so I prefer to call it a separate species.
Menno Skiltausen is an evolutionary biologist at the National Natural History Museum in the Netherlands.
It is different from its closest relative, you could say the above-ground mosquito, in three ways. The underground mosquito prefers to bite humans instead of birds, which the above-ground mosquito does. The underground mosquito does not mate in these large mating swarms that you see above ground. The underground mosquito really mates one-on-one in very confined spaces. And also the underground mosquito does not need a blood meal before it can lay its eggs, which the above-ground mosquito does need. So you have three fundamentally different aspects of this of its life history that have evolved away from the ancestor, which was the above-ground mosquito.
In the short time in which humans had developed tunnels and begun inhabiting underground spaces, a whole new species had evolved.
One of the cool things, I think, is that in the London Underground, these mosquitoes have not only evolved away from their ancestors above ground, but also mosquitoes in different underground lines are genetically different from each other because they're sort of separated, live in different worlds. And so the mosquitoes in the Circle line are genetically a little bit different from the ones in the Piccadilly line, for example.
Like most biologists, he grew up loving the great outdoors, as far away from the effects of people as he could get. But unlike many others, his passion for evolution and studying natural selection has steered him back towards the cranes and cars of the concrete jungle. So much so, in fact, that he has written a book in which he outlines the amazing ways that nature adapts right in front of us in urban environments.
In cities, evolution goes really, really fast. So you can actually watch evolution take place over a time span of decades, or sometimes even years, and that makes evolution really tangible. And I think that's a really good way to show that evolution is a very mundane process, really. You don't need to study fossils, you don't need to go to the Galapagos to see it happening. It's happening everywhere all the time, including in your own street and in your own backyard.
Menno's favorite example of urban evolution, he tells me, is the city blackbird, which was the first bird to colonize cities in Europe, and now shows multiple changes from its forest ancestor.
The city blackbirds have shorter beaks. In some cities, they also have shorter intestines. They don't migrate anymore. The forest blackbirds, which still exist, of course, they do migrate away during the winter. The urban blackbirds don't.
But when is adaptation evolution? And when is it just learning? Take the famous example of blue tits in the UK, who learned to peck open the milk bottles left outside people's front doors. That was learned behavior. When would it represent an evolutionary shift? Well, it depends on whether genetics are involved.
Of course, there's not a gene for opening the caps of milk bottles, but there are genes for inventiveness, for something called neophilia, so being curious about new things, and also for tolerance towards humans. Those are all things which have a genetic basis.
Since 2007, more than half of the world's human population have lived in urban environments. And by 2030, it's believed that a full 10% of land on Earth will be covered by a city of some sort.
Whether we like it or not, the world at the moment is in a situation that is unprecedented. We've never before had a situation where a single species, namely humans, is affecting the ecosystems of the world everywhere and in such a drastic way. Again, whether we like it or not, we are witnessing a very important, unprecedented, crucial change in the history of life on Earth, and we should be studying it. Right now, humans are one of the most important evolutionary forces, and we should really take that into account.
Francesca Fazi reporting there. And if you'd like to find out more about any of the stories we've covered, the transcript and their references can be found on our website, thenakedscientist.com.